I have to correct a stat that I brought up on the show.
Do you say stat?
A stat.
Statistic, nice.
Joe Bowen has 4 sons that are Packers fans, and I was informed of that, not 3.
So gotta have it. Gotta have that intel.
Joe Bowen and his 3 sons, I was informed by somebody very close to Joe Bowen.
A source.
It was 4 sons.
Okay. That Bowen clan, they all stick together, too. Like, you see Bonesy.
Dude, it's like if one of them went up to Joe Bowen and said, I actually like Ohio State and Notre Dame sucks, I think you're out of the family.
Well, like, I think you're permanently out. Like, you have to leave the country and move to
Ohio. They
got
this Winnebago, man. They go tooting around and go to games, and it's like, what if one of them just comes up and says, I think this team sucks?
I kind of want to see it happen. I kind of want to believe there's one dark horse. Yeah. One of the boys is like, I just don't like Green Bay.
Of the boys comes home after dinner one night, and he's got a jersey on. Half of it's a Chicago Blackhawks one, and the other one's Ohio State. And then it's just NFL's Tampa Bay. They hate everything. Then they say, forever I've hated it all.
Yep, because the whole crew, it's Packers, Notre Dame Maple Leafs. Like,
and
super
Red Sox,
fans.
Apparently.
Are they the Red Sox, too? I didn't know that.
Oh.
I didn't know that. Okay.
That's some deep intel.
That's interesting. So they're all about the front runners too, that Bowen family. Listen, I share 2 of the 3. I don't have an issue with Notre Dame. I don't like the Red Sox, so I'm not on board with that. But okay. I mean, they're committed to their teams. I'll give them credit. And Bonesy's an owner, part owner in Green Bay. It's one of those publicly funded teams, and I think he's got a certificate and everything. So he'll be on the field. He'll be on the field in Tampa. They make it to the Super Bowl. So, okay, there you go. That's important intel. We got to have that right. The 4 boys in the Bowen family, all big fans of the Green Bay Packers. And that is the afternoon game, and it's going to be a difficult Sunday. We talked about this the other day, where the Leafs are playing an afternoon game. They're playing at 4 o'clock against Calgary on Sunday. The Raptors are playing, I think they moved their game up to 1 or 1:30. And then you got Packers playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then the nightcap is Bills, Kansas City.
I think the Leaf game is actually, is it 2 o'clock Calgary time? Is that right?
I believe so, yeah. I think it's 4 Eastern time. Yeah, which I makes no sense to me. I mean, if you're trying to avoid the NFL, play at 9 Eastern time. Play at 10 Eastern time.
Or at noon?
Yeah, but then it's 10 a.m. Mountain time. Like, play at 8 p.m. Mountain time, 10 p.m. Eastern time, and you'll avoid the NFL. Like, you're out. You know, like, why would you play right in the middle of those 2 games?
There's no games, period, that day. Just, I'm sorry. We'll squeeze in something.
Just punt the day?
We're just not playing on the Sunday. It's just the NFL day, and those 2 matchups, like, it's massive, and you're not doing it.
Or you play at noon. Like, the Habs have been doing this forever. Super Bowl weekend, they play back-to-back at home, I think, at 12 o'clock. Saturday at 12 at the Bell Center, Sunday at 12, and then they're out of there. And it's like almost accepted. Let's get this in because everyone wants to go home and party and watch the Super Bowl. And that's the way it should. That's what the NHL should do. Just have a ton of games going at noon and then get out of the way by 3 o'clock and give the NFL their runway because you know they're going to own it for the next 8 or 9 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just it's too big. This year, I understand why you got to make some. You're going to have to play when you got to play. I mean, you're dealing with a pandemic. You're dealing with a shortened season. And you got to get games in, I guess. But I haven't looked at the schedule as of Super Bowl Sunday. You know, historically, the NHL completely avoids it. If there's a game, it's usually a Canadian matchup. It's like Canada. It's like the Habs against Vancouver, and then that's it. There's no American teams playing. Because you can't get anybody into the building.
No.
Right? Like, if you're selling tickets, you can't get anybody into the building on Super Bowl Sunday. Everyone's tailgating and partying. It doesn't matter what teams are in it. It's just a completely different challenge. But yeah, we got some big action cooking this weekend. And even tomorrow night, the Raptors are back in action. Rod Black will join us later in the hour. They're playing Miami again, and the Leafs are playing Edmonton. And I like it. Like, I guess the Leafs did this with Ottawa, where they played back-to-back, and it was a similar outcome. On the first game, the Leafs lost, didn't play that well. The next night, they came back and performed really, really well and won the game. I would expect a similar bounce-back effort tomorrow night from the Leafs. Not that they played horribly last night. It's not like they got outplayed. I don't think either team outplayed the other. But there appears to be some desperation on night 2.
Who's going to bite? Who's going to bite Brian? Who's going to say, I got to get a goal, and I want to win this game, so I'm going to do something different than happened the other night. That's good. It's like a, it's just like a, it's a game within the game. Who's going to avoid, or who's going to go off track from what happened the other night and say, I'm just not playing defensively like that. I want to score a goal, and it, will it cause a chance the other way? That's going to be the big element of the game. Because I don't think those two teams can replicate that. I don't mind it that much. I really don't care. I don't need like the back and forth and the McDavid. And I can watch any kind of game. But I don't think they can both play like that. I don't think it's possible.
I don't think you're getting it. Like, they play three more times in the next 9 days. You're not getting that three more times. Like, there's no way. They're just these teams have not proven that they can pay attention to detail and they can stay that focused.
Dude, have you seen the Oilers for the first 10 days of the season? They're the Oilers.
Yeah.
And I said it earlier. They got off the bird and they morphed into the 95 New Jersey Devils with Scott Stevens and Marty Brodeur.
Yep.
It's
for
like
one game. For one
for
game.
For one game. I don't know.
But it's more about focusing on the high-end players. Like, I expect the depth guys to stay committed. Like, I don't expect Alex Kerfoot tomorrow to say, you know what, I ain't gonna get crazy and jump the zone a bunch tonight, or Kyle Turris, or the third D pairing. Zach Bogosian's not going end-to-end. The question with patience and with committing to that game plan derives around, you know, two or three guys on each team.
Yeah.
Is McDavid going to accept not, you know, running and gunning? And
even in zone haze, like, they didn't make much in the neutral zone, but usually they bounce off a guy in the offensive zone and get free and create a shot. Like, that wasn't even there. It was a mess.
Yeah, it wasn't a fun game last night. And personally, just for entertainment purposes, I want to see something crazy tomorrow night. Like, not long term, I get it. And before you call me on inconsistencies or, you know, anything along those lines, playoff time, that's how you got to play. You got to commit. You got to get there. A one-off on a Friday night early into the season, give me fireworks tomorrow night. I think we expect that this weekend with these four quarterbacks and the potential for shootouts. That is if Patrick Mahomes even plays. And here is one of the voices of the NFL on Fox, also the voice of the Chicago Bulls, Adam Amin, joining us for the first time on Overdrive. What's up, Adam?
Yep.
All right. This day is unbelievable.
All my junk was not working, and it's just I felt horrible, and it's just Ray's phone died. Adam wasn't even there.
Yeah, it is just a mess. It's one of those days. There's nothing you can do. We're doing shows from home. We've been doing it for a long time. We've been lucky to be able to stay on the air, and I think commit to what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing on a daily basis. Sometimes it falls apart. And sometimes it falls apart. Today appears to be one of those days.
Heads are falling off.
I think we have, yes, pets' heads are falling off. Here is Adam Amin from the NFL on Fox. Do you have us, Adam? Okay. You got us, buddy, or what? Are you there?
Yeah,
is this a troll job?
Rural Iowa strikes again, my friend.
Rural Iowa. What are you doing in rural Iowa?
I'm currently en route to Iowa City for a college basketball game, a Big Ten college basketball game.
Okay. I like it. I mean, that seems like you'd get somewhat of a buzz, even during a pandemic. I think there'd be some buzz in a small town, college town like that. I mean, is there excitement in the air or what?
I mean, the team is very good. The team in Iowa is number 4 in the country in the top 25 poll. So we get a chance to see the potential national player of the year, potential NBA draft pick in Luka Garza, 7-foot guy, kind of a lumbering player. A lot of comparisons to I've heard the phrase "poor man's Nikola Jokic" used for Luka Garza as a potential translation to the NBA. So we'll get a chance to see him in action and a very good college basketball team.
Okay, I like it. Well, I'm sure once you get through that, you're probably like the rest of us. You're looking forward to the weekend in the NFL, and you've been lucky enough to be in the buildings calling a lot of games this year, and I don't think you can ask for a better four-pack of teams in terms of what we're going to get in 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks of the Super Bowl. I don't think there's a bad matchup, you know, whatever it's going to be. Is there one in particular, though, that you think would be the most compelling? You know, which two winners this weekend will lead to the most compelling Super Bowl, in your opinion?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's hard to parse it in the moment, right? I mean, I think about Brady and Mahomes and their AFC championship game and some of their regular season matchups in the last couple of years that have been really entertaining. I think about seeing them in the Super Bowl. There's so many elements to that. Obviously, Mahomes having a chance to defend the title, Brady going to another place and having the opportunity to win and kind of prove himself at his age to do what he's doing is incredible. I think there's an emotional aspect to the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. There's been such a great back and forth, such a great reciprocation of positivity between Josh Allen and some of the most starved fans in American professional sports, the Buffalo Bills. That relationship has become something really entertaining and really kind of heartwarming to watch, how fans have invested in Josh Allen. And he has, as a young quarterback, this specter of Bills Mafia and a starved fan base surrounding him. And then I look at Aaron Rodgers, and what compels me about him is the chip on his shoulder. Aaron Rodgers has had this, I mean, even at 37, to be doing the things he's doing, playing at an MVP level, I think he's the MVP of the league this year, personally. And this is an organization that hasn't necessarily supported him with the most elite talent. You know, you can make a case that David Bakhtiari is the second most popular, known commodity that the Packers have on offense. And other than that, Devontae Adams has become a household name, but that's because of the play of Rodgers. So the emotional tangent of that aspect of Rodgers getting to a Super Bowl, the emotional aspect of Allen having the Bills Nation around him, Brady separating from New England, and then Mahomes trying to defend the title. I think everybody has a gripping storyline individually going into what could be a really fun weekend.
Ed, in the last hour, Brian mentioned Brady and how he's the GOAT and he's got the six titles. And Mahomes' name came up after that, and he said that he's probably one of the only guys that even has a chance to sniff that out in the future. Do you think that's out there for him, with him, Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, like even coming close to what Brady's done? Or is it like two or three championships and he's going to go down as still one of the greatest quarterbacks that's ever played?
The dynasty thing feels harder and harder to come by in, I think, most North American sports at this point. It feels harder and harder to come by because it's become more of an arms race in the NBA. You know, you have everybody trying to put together some kind of big three that could get you a championship. In the NFL, the way that guaranteed contracts work now and the hierarchy of stars to money, I think that has affected the ability for organizations to truly build up into what we would refer to as a dynasty, certainly what we saw with New England. I think it's very difficult in baseball with the roster turnover. You guys could speak more coherently about the NHL and how that is, but I feel like it's harder and harder to create what we now consider to be the dynasty franchise. So if there's anybody capable of it, yeah, Patrick Mahomes. It's the same reason he came up second in your conversation after Tom Brady, for all the reasons I'm sure you guys understand. But in terms of an organization being able to do it consistently in the 2020s, I don't see it being a 5-6 championship run. I think it is closer to what you guys talked about, maybe two or three titles in a relatively short amount of time. And I think there's limitations outside of just talent now that make that the case.
He is Adam Amin from the NFL on Fox, the voice of the Chicago Bulls as well, and he's on his way to Iowa City. Good luck down there. Enjoy it. And we really appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you.
You got it. There he is, Adam Amin in rural Iowa, hanging on for dear life.
In the Flintstone Mobile with his head popping out of the top.
That one, that's tough, man. There's probably not a lot on the roads. I've never been to Iowa. That might be the 50th state in terms of where I ever plan on going.
I don't think I'll ever be there, man. I don't think I'm
it.
Like anyone ever says to me, you want to head down to Iowa and tee it up? I'm just like, no.
Who would ever suggest that? Could you imagine a buddy being
somebody like, send us a link of a nice golf course in Iowa, and I'll think about it. Maybe me and Hazy B will think about Iowa because we're heading to Tiger's Course as soon as we're allowed to cross the border.
Right, and that is in Missouri, I believe, right?
Like, yeah,
Missouri's, Yeah, the Ozarks.
Marty Bird's the general manager.
Right. There's some cartel action going on down
there.
You got to be careful with the Ozarks. But, you know, Missouri, yeah, you know, St. Louis is compelling. The Ozarks are compelling. That course the Tigers are part of looks unbelievable. You're not
kidding.
Dude,
when I hear the word Iowa, all I think about is like a flat cornfield in Saskatchewan type flat.
Yeah, an offensive lineman. That's what I think of.
And just a big country Reeves. Yeah. Big country Reeves. I think of him and his mullet.
And I guess our boy Nick Nurse, too, who's from Iowa. So, yeah, maybe that would be it. Maybe you go down there for an interview with Nick Nurse. If Nick Nurse invited us to do a show on the road at Iowa or in Iowa, that's the only possible outcome I can think of. Maybe a drive-through. But, you know, those states, with all due respect, I don't see myself thinking I got to get to, you know, Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas,
Idaho,
Wyoming. Yeah, Idaho. Maybe I got that wrong. Is he from Iowa? No, I think he's from Iowa. So, yeah. Anyway, shout out to anyone that streams online from Iowa.
Dude, you just mentioned Idaho, Jonas. A bunch of NHL players have moved to Idaho.
Seriously?
A place called Gauzer Ranch. And apparently it's this ritzy golf place where the rich and famous Gretzky and company hang out there. And I don't know how they found it, but there's a ton of people out there. Gauzer Ranch Resort.
I see it. Wow.
Yeah. Is that where Kanye was hanging out? Kanye was...
No,
dude,
somewhere else. I know what you're talking about. He went to some weird small town. Not weird.
No, but he was in a state like that. He was in Idaho or Iowa or something. Like, he was somewhere in the Midwest. And that there's some belief that's where maybe Kanye was getting up to no good. And that might have been the issue with Kardashian. I don't know. But... Okay, shout out to Iowa. Shout out. We're fans. You know, it's probably number 50 on my list, but that's okay. There's a bunch of states that are probably tied for 50th that I really don't intend on ever visiting and don't envision ever getting there anyway. But the idea of, you know, building a dynasty, I was thinking about it as he was answering that. And the dynasty clearly in sports over the past 20 years, and obviously in the NFL, is the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what may have come to an end and what may have stopped the ability to do that is the field that Jonas thrives in. The information that is available now is so much more balanced and it's so much more accessible, where I kind of get the impression like Belichick was so much smarter than everyone else. And everything else was eye test. Everything else was intangible. Everything else was, I like this football player because I went to see him live and I met his parents and he was a good person.
What information are you referring to as far as the football club can
have? I'm talking analytics. I'm talking deeply rooted information to know what you got right, what you got wrong. Where Belichick, I'm not saying he was looking at stats or graphs necessarily, but I think he was so much smarter than everyone else. So much smarter at finding the right player at the right time, putting forth the right game plan, game planning against the opposition, knowing what works, knowing what doesn't. And I just think now in pro sports, you're not winging it. Like, forever it was winging. You're just winging it. It was, I'm a coach because I've always been a coach, and I'm a good guy, and I run a good practice, and here's the game plan. We're going out and doing it. And it's like, oh, it didn't work. Well, what are you going to do? Next time we'll get them next time by working harder. And now information is so available that I don't think a team can separate the same way, not over a long period of time, because I think another team is going to smarten up and say, you know what, this is what we have to do too.
But you look at a team like Detroit, it's like how many people have to go into that organization where they've been so bad for so long, and what are they, just missing the information? Patricia, there's a prime example. Matt Patricia was riding shotgun with Belichick in New England, and he couldn't bring any of the info.
Nothing.
So there goes your case right there.
Well, listen, not everyone can finish 16-0. There's got to be ups and downs.
Yeah, but
I don't need every team to beat you, you need one.
If Bill Belichick had all this inside info that no one else had, don't you think Matt Patricia would be privy to that? And he would say, okay.
Not if you're smart enough to see. If you can't see it, you can't see it. Like, if you can't, just because you're around the guy doesn't mean that you're the guy. You know, like, I can go hang out with Tiger Woods. I'm not hitting a Tiger Stinger 2 weeks later. I'm not, you know, a +4 handicap because I'm around Tiger. You know,
but don't you think assistant coaches ask more questions than anyone on earth? And if he's seeing something funny, he'd be like, Hey, Bill, how'd you know that this linebacker was going to turn out in the seventh round you drafted him? And Bill would have gave him some kind of nugget where he'd be like, oh, that's interesting.
But that's instincts. Like, that's like you could put a plug next to you and they're not going to score like you can, right?
That's, you know, true, what I mean? Jonas. Like, that's the first right thing you've said all day.
Yeah. See, Jonas, I'm trying to support where you're coming from. I think you would agree with my take.
I 100%. I mean, look at the Yankees. Remember how easy it was? Not easy, but the Yankees just like would roll to titles in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time they won? 09?
It's been
you can't just like money your way to a title anymore. Like,
I don't even think those 90s titles, Jonas, they were like blowing extraordinary amounts of money. Like,
no,
they had good teams.
Some grit grinders on their team.
Yeah,
that weren't
Bernie
that
Williams
were yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, Bernie Williams was making a lot of money.
They drafted and developed for the most part. You know, like guys like Posada and Jeter and Pettit. And
I mean, look here in Toronto. Look how hard it is. We're watching the Leafs try to win one. Like,
exactly.
Forget about like 3 or 3 in 5 years. Or...
Yep. Well, and that's it. Like, constantly craving a dynasty, it's asking for a lot. You know, it's few and far between, man. Like, and it's you don't see it. You just don't. Like, in the NBA, I guess Golden State would be considered the closest. They lost two of the five.
Yeah.
They went 3-2 in the finals. Like, that's not, you know
who's
you're batting 600.
LeBron is a dynasty.
LeBron as an individual is a dynasty. And that's just pure talent and work ethic and perseverance and determination, you know, for sure. And forcing your way into a position where all of a sudden Anthony Davis is your teammate, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. He's benefited from other players as well greatly. Rod Black will join us on the Raptors' loss last night. What needs to happen to get back in the win column tomorrow night? And Kyrie Irving returned last night. They lost in double overtime in Cleveland. In Cleveland. And now immediately, it's the first game with all three of them, and everyone's like, they can't defend. They won't defend. That's your issue. We'll see what Rod can tell us about that as well. Our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine a little bit later in the hour. Rod Black will join us here in a moment. Our buddy Rod, we haven't spoken to him in a while, and he's been all over the Raptors beat. He's always a busy guy. Like, Rod's probably one of those guys that is, you know, everyone's having their issues with the pandemic. Everyone's having their issues with the stay-at-home order. But when
Not
I
Roddy.
Think of someone that just gets out and is a man amongst the town, I think of Rod Black. Like, he's hosting events. He's at charity events. He's a MC 101. He's the man.
He is the man. There's no doubt about that.
It's just not available to him right now because, you know, that's been tough for a lot of charity events. Like, they're going online and they're trying to do it virtually, and hopefully people can support it. And I'm sure they're still getting some support, but you miss out on some really cool events. You know, the last time I saw Rod, we were up at Blue Mountain at a charity event up there. And it's just not going to be available to us this year, but he's still doing his thing. He's one of the few guys who gets in studio. We see him in their studio with Leo all the time, and Kate's in there as well. And it was a tough one last night for the Raptors. They're back in action tomorrow night, back home in Tampa, taking on Miami. Here is our buddy Rod Black. How you doing, Rod?
Hey, good, boys. Isn't that hard to believe, Hazy?
Crazy.
That, like, who would have thought? Here we are. I think we were enjoying a couple of ales up in O'Dogville, up in Collingwood, and Blue Mountain, and... You know, I think the world shut down about a week later or something like that.
It really was. It was the end of February, maybe early March. It might have been the first weekend of March we were up
Man,
there.
It was crazy.
Yep.
I really would like this thing to end, but, you know, I thank God for sports in so many ways. Thank God we've had something to take our minds off of this crisis. It certainly pales in comparison to what everybody else is going through, certainly, and there are a lot of people that are suffering, and I think of so many friends that, you know, again, back then we hardly knew anybody who had COVID. Now we know people who have had COVID. We know people who have died of COVID. I think of Warren Woods yesterday, the Regina sportscaster who passed away because he got the virus. So it has been insane, but at the same time, life goes on and hopefully we'll all get through.
Well, that's right. And, you know, on the Raptors front, it has not been a fun year so far, Rod, as
no.
you know. I mean,
no.
it's strange
no.
that they're in Tampa. They started off 2-8. They had a couple of those games they probably should have had. They let them get away. And then you look at a game like last night, and it brings me back to the Golden State game. It brings me back to the game in Portland where, okay, you're flat. They didn't play well last night. Miami showed up depleted lineup but with a purpose, and they were there to win. If you're 8-5 and you lose a game in that manner, you're like, okay, I can live with it. It happens. What are you going to do? When you start the way the Raptors started, you just can't have it. You can't have games like last night. No. It hurts that much more.
No, I you know, you watch, and it seems to be a bit of a broken record, if they have records anymore. a skipped digital.
Right.
It seems to be just this fourth quarter, you know, double digit. If you have a lead, teams come back, or if you're in a deficit, that lead gets blown up a little bit. They're really having a tough time finishing. And, you know, you're right. 5-9 is not getting it done. You looked at, you know, the way they were, you know, 2-8 a little while ago. And yeah, they were able to roll off three. You know, you looked at going in, no Jimmy Buckets in the game. Goes to show you on a night in, night out basis, anybody can beat anybody. Look at Cleveland last night beating Brooklyn. Who would have thought, you know, as a betting person? So there are strange things. I do think, though, that there are a few positives. And as bad as this has been, you guys, I still think that they aren't that far away from being a decent ball club. But, you know, and when I say decent, I mean certainly a couple of games over 500. I think by early February, if you look at the schedule, if things go according to form and guys start to pick up their games and they play better in the fourth quarter, this team should be at or above 500. I really believe that by the first week of February.
So you think there's the talent there to do that, Roddy, because I was just about to ask you. You were just mentioning how they just fall up short, or one guy doesn't show up for a quarter. That, to me, is a team that's just not talented enough to get the job done. And that seems to always happen when the team is lacking that talent.
Well, you know, Dog, there's the obvious. I mean, you know, Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka are missing in the middle, and they miss some real key defense. I mean, their defensive numbers are down. I mean, there is no doubt. They're terrible in the clutch. This was a team that was third in the clutch, you know, last year in the last 3 minutes. This team is near the bottom now. This is a team that was second defensively in the NBA last year. You know, they're way down this year. And so, yeah, they're missing some ingredients, but I still think, you know, guys, based on what we saw in the bubble and how they played, they're still, I mean, again, let's not fool anybody. Are they the Brooklyn Nets, or are they playing like Philadelphia is right now, or Milwaukee? No. But I still don't think they are as bad as some people perceive, especially that record. And, you know, they got the obvious. I mean, Pascal has to play at an all-star level every night. And, you know, frankly, there have been some off nights. Kyle Lowry still does what he does every single night, it seems. They just seem a little bit disconnected, and they're also living off the three-point shot, as the whole league is. And when the three-point shot is dropping, it's beautiful. But when it's not, it's ugly basketball. I mean, even that Dallas game the other night, I'm sitting in studio with Leo, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is Clank City. You know, it's not pretty. I'd like to see them, you know, try to take some twos still. I'm a bit of a throwback. I know that you live by the three. A double-digit deficit. There were three trips last night. Just take the two-point shot. Take the easy bunny. Try to get it inside. I mean, Boucher, I mean, is taking three-point shots. That's fine. But, man, he's almost 7 feet tall. Get him inside. Take the two. Cut that. You take three trips, you know, you're down within 4 points. Three straight misses of a three or trying to jack back and get you back. And I know that kind of goes against analytics a little bit. But there's just something about the team that just seems a little disconnected. I don't know if you guys see that right now, but it just, especially in crunch time, and this is a team, by the way, that used to live by that, and they used to succeed by that.
Okay, well, Rod, in light of that, the disconnection, if you're Masai Ujiri, how long do you wait before you start saying, you know what, Kyle Lowry, you know, we got to start looking at what we've got here, his expiring contract, there's a lot of teams that would like a Kyle Lowry, like, how long do you give it?
Well, I always go by, Jonah, I go by the 20-game rule. You know, that in February, if it's a 20 games, that then, you know, if, as I said, which you know, if they can get to a 5-1 or a 6-2, you know, they'd be that near that 20-game mark. That's when you kind of know what kind of team you have. You know, having said that, I think Masai Ujiri, keep in mind, this is a president and general manager that, you know, that makes a lot of decisions. Bobby Webster as well. Still is not under contract himself. So Kyle Lowry, there are going to be teams that want Kyle Lowry. And you have to look at it. And I think any general manager would, any president would, any poker player would. But then also, are you a bit of a buyer? You know, there's some bodies out there. There's, you know, people have been talking about Andre Drummond and Marcus Bagley, maybe even a Kyle Korver that could become available. Do you go after them? So I do think by the 20-game mark, you know, they're going to probably make a decision on what they're going to do. Are they going to stay where they are? Or are they going to try to reload? Or are they going to try to maybe rebuild for next year?
With Rod Black here on Overdrive. So, Rod, as I mentioned, you're one of the lucky ones. You get into the studio, and I know social distancing is a priority and has to happen. But Leo's in there. Kate's in there. You got Sam over Zoom. Occasionally you got Jack involved. So I'm sure, you know, all of you are talking about different storylines around the league, and I have to believe the Brooklyn Nets have come up on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, throughout this whole run. And Kyrie makes his return last night in Cleveland, and they lose in double overtime. And the story today immediately is these guys can't defend, which, you know, I get based on what we saw last night. There's a lot of runway here for them.
Did anybody ever think they were?
Well, but that's the whole point. Exactly. Like, yeah. James Harden has never defended. Like,
no.
Durant can defend, and I think he got dragged into it more often than not based on what the Warriors were all about. I'm not sure he wants to do it on a daily basis, especially with his age and coming off the injury he had. And Kyrie Irving, again, the same thing. Like, he's not necessarily a guy who's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but they're compelling, man. Like, it's something. They're fun to watch, and they're going. I don't see another storyline in the league that's going to match it. Like, the Clippers all of a sudden have run off, I think, five in a row. They're sitting atop the Western Conference. No one's talking about it because Brooklyn's taking up all the oxygen.
Yeah, it goes to show you, Brian, you know, that big three thing that we've talked about over the years, that thing really works, by the way.
Yeah, you know, it sells.
It really did. It was the big two. I remember when it was two guys, you know, dynamic duo, you know, Jordan Pippen, you know, Shaq, Kobe. Yeah. Well, then, you know, Boston changed that. Teams have changed that. Miami changed that. Brooklyn's changed that. The Clippers have changed that. Everybody's changed that. You need three. And it's not even – people talk about positions like, oh, you're really good at the one. You got to go one or two. There's no – it's a positionless game now. There's no real numbers, you know, beyond having a big guy. You can all sometimes have five different players out there. And I think the Nets, they have the most unstoppable force, offensive force in basketball. That's Kevin Durant. I think that's, you know, that's undeniable. And he's playing at a very high level considering the injury. You got James Harden, who is the most unique player, I think, in the history of the NBA, the way he plays. He's like some baller off of Venice Beach. You just give me the ball and I'm going to go. And, you know, and you got Kyrie Irving, who also got great handles and is dynamic. You have three superstars. The issue is how much basketball. I mean, they all, like, you go to double overtime and they all got 40, near 40 last night, but you have to go to double overtime to get that. So they're going to find their way. I still think at the end of the year, you know, at the end of this season, Brooklyn will, you know, be maybe one of the most unstoppable forces there are. But right now it's going to take a while to find a way to get a groove, find a way to get rhythm. I think the Raptors are having trouble with that. I think everybody's having trouble with that for the most part. Keep in mind, these are teams, you guys, that you know, only had a couple months off. Some of them had 5 or 6 months off. I credit Golden State their record, but – you know, I look at the standings, and you know, there are some, you know, glitches. You know, some blips on this. Like, you look at the Raptors. Who would ever thought that the Raptors would be behind the New York Knicks? The Knicks,
Cleveland, Atlanta. They're chasing
all the teams. Knicks are for real this year, Roddy.
But you know, if that was the Knicks, if that was Stephen A. Smith. But I do think that the 20-game mark, you are going to see what you are going to see by the playoffs. I really do believe that. And the Brooklyn Nets, barring injury or barring Kyrie Irving going off in some tangent, they are going to be a very, very good team.
Yep, I have to concur with you on that one, Rod. It's always great to catch up with you, buddy. Continued you know, success and safety and health and all that good stuff. And we'll see you again soon.
I'm not seeing people in person. I mean, it's been a year since I shook somebody's hand in Hazy. I think it was yours.
I know, me too.
I mean,
it was grubby. It was grubby. It was slimy. It was sweaty.
I think it smelled of tequila at the time. But that's
yeah,
okay.
That's right. We love that little pub right at the bottom of the hill.
I miss the bunny hill,
I believe.
I miss skiing. I went out for a skate. How about these idiots in the city who salted ice rinks? You hear that story?
There's a long list of nonsense, Roddy. But
oh my gosh, we need people to get outside, safe distance, and still be active. That's stupid.
That's the most stupid thing
I've ever heard of.
You're absolutely right.
Me and Hazy are going to start jogging next week, Roddy.
I'll join you guys.
All right, buddy.
Virtually.
We'll meet. Exactly. We'll get you over Zoom. All right, pal. Thank you
for this.
All right,
boys. Always great talking to you. Stay safe.
Yep. You too. There he is, Rod Black. Yeah, the last time I saw Rod would have been in a bar at the bottom of the hill in Blue Mountain. You know that scene better than anybody, yo. It is
Rusty's.
When
were you at out. Rusty's?
I think that's exactly where we were. And there's a vibe in there, man. It was at the end of the day. The sun was going down.
There is a thirst level when you're done skiing. It trumps ending hockey.
More than anything else. More than anything else. I totally agree with you. And I'm not a skier. I've done it a few times.
People take that appraise ski more seriously than I could have ever imagined.
Yep.
Ever imagined.
Because it's a full day event. You know, the skiing. Like, you got to get there early.
Skiing is wrapped up at 2:15-ish. People are done with it. They throw their skis on the ground, and they say, where's the booze?
Right. And you get nestled in there. And you know why I think it's such a great scene?
Why?
Because nobody cares about their appearance. Everyone's just bundled up. They've been wearing toques the whole day. Their hair's a mess. Their face is all red. Or, you know, it's just like, who cares? Just order pints and sit down and just relax.
I think I've got a different impression of it. I think people just kick back. I'm along at a private ski hill, and people just say, it's a beautiful day, I'm rich, and I just skied, and I'm enjoying myself.
Well, that could
nice
be
thought.
The case, too, but I don't know. Maybe mine's a little bit deeper.
I don't know.
Yours is a little bit more shallow. It makes a lot of sense, but my take is a little bit deeper. I think it's.
I just see people sitting back and they're just loving their life.
They are, but you know what I'm saying about appearances in a bar, you know, at the bottom of a ski.
Oh, like, dude, these people are the richest people in the universe. They don't care what they look like. Hair's a mess.
But that's it.
Not running down your face.
Yeah, you got a turtleneck on. You're just a disaster, and you're like, whatever, we're drinking pints. Where you go to another bar a few hours later, and it's like, okay, well, we got to go back and shower and get dressed and look appropriate or whatever. It's just grit grinder central. Who cares? We're all in here. We all did our thing. We've been exercising. It's the winter. We probably haven't been outside in 3 weeks. Go time. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline. Al's brother's going journalist on us here. He I guess, quote tweeted a story about the Tokyo Olympics. And I have to be honest, it has been on the back burner for me. It's not something I'm even thinking about because, you know, the summer feels so far away. And we're focused on the day-to-day with what's going on in our town and throughout our province and country. And the Leafs and Raptors are playing. The NFL's going on. But there's some reports about potentially the Olympic Games not being able to happen again this summer. We'll tell you about that. We'll get into it. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN2.
Hazy, we got to come out guns blazing tomorrow. It's just, I think Noodles is going to be back. Nothing against Jonas. But we've had technical issues. We've had phones drop. We have to put pressure on ourselves, much like the Maple Leafs tomorrow, to have our best show of the year. There's no other way around it.
Yeah, it's got to be a bounce back. It does. Jonas did everything he could to keep this on the rails.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, you guys put forth a very quality effort. You know, my attitude, it wasn't good at 4 o'clock, I'll be honest.
No.
Because there were some technical difficulties, a little bit of a delay. And I've tried to avoid the head shake. Like, I've been talking to myself, don't do it, avoid it.
No, you did it.
I did it. I couldn't.
And that's when my blood
it.
Started boiling. And then the grappler's question of what's up with your stuff, like it's my fault, like I sabotage my own belongings.
Right. That was the grappler. I was wondering if it was the grappler. I figured it probably would be.
Yeah, and I love the grappler. We move on, but we have discussions where he's like, what's up with your equipment? I'm like, Keith, think about that.
Harry.
If I knew what the problem was, there wouldn't be a problem right now. So I don't appreciate the question. And he's like, well, it's my job to figure it out. And I'm like, I get that, but I don't know what's wrong with the stuff.
The amazing thing about that is, like, the grappler is technologically advanced. Like, he is very good with all of the equipment. And he's a go-to guy. If I have an issue, we're very lucky.
He's an equipment guy.
The grappler, Mullen, Megan, best in the business. I feel so comfortable with all three of them where we can rely on them all. If there's an issue, do you think you could help us? And I know if they can't help us, then we're really in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But the grappler can't walk into your room and figure it out. You know, like that's
not allowed.
We're not allowed. So what are you going to do? You know, it's we're all at home. And as I've said many times, like, it's very basic. We come down here, we turn on the radio component, we turn on the TV component, we sit down, and we start talking at 4 o'clock. Like, it's not overly deep on our end. You know, we're just trying to keep it together. They keep it very basic for a purpose because we're bozos and we can't figure it out. If it's overly complicated, we're in trouble here. And Jonas, you get to be in studio. Like, you're just in there, I guess. Is Mullen controlling your mic, and you just kind of start talking whenever you want to talk?
Yeah, he's in his own booth, though.
Yeah, of course. But it's pretty easy for you. You're just going old school.
Yeah,
just,
I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty convenient.
It's just lonely in here. Al's brother's here. Mark's here.
Yeah. Well, Al's brother was digging up, what was it, the Times, I think, that was reporting that the officials over in Japan and the IOC, you know, are starting to get a little bit concerned about the 2021 Olympics.
Well, and why wouldn't you be? Like, at this time, it's worse than it was last year, so yeah. Why wouldn't it be in jeopardy this year?
Well, it would be such a shame. I can't say I'd be overly surprised. I mean, I've said this countless times on the show. About 4 or 5 months ago, I had an epiphany, and I just said to myself, stop acting surprised by anything when it comes to the virus and how we're handling it and where it's going and what the timeline is. Mm-hmm. You know, like early on, I was like, yeah, we'll figure this out. You know, in a few months, they'll get this done, that done. At this point, you know, without vaccines being everywhere, rapid testing is not available everywhere. Traveling in people from all around the world and quite literally all corners of the world, to say nothing of the fact that it's a big media event as well. I mean, these media companies
Massive.
Pay a fortune and they want access, right? Like you want to get there and you want the ratings and you want it to be produced properly and to look good and sound good. And if you can't do it safely, then you might have to move on. But man, that would be something. The fact that they postponed the 2020 Olympics, and I remember when they announced that, I'm like, well, clearly they'll be there by 2021.
Yeah.
And we're only 6 or 7 months out. But it makes you wonder if maybe the NHL and the NBA will adjust their schedule a little bit, right? Because the NHL, the understanding was NBC basically told them, you got to be out by the time the Olympics start. Like, that is their property in the States is NBC. And the NHL is done like a week before the games start. If the games get postponed or canceled altogether, maybe the NHL feels like they've got an extra week or two to play with. Like, why wouldn't you adjust your schedule? No one's showing up. No one's got tickets. Like, what's the difference if you play until the July 10th or July 25th?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, yeah, you're getting more time to play with. It's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Like I said, the second wave is worse situation than we were at any time last year. So why would anything like that be happening? It can't.
Yeah.
You can't have the Olympics.
I mean, I guess you got to think. It's what is it, 5 months down the road, 6 months down the road, you know, maybe vaccines are more readily available. Maybe the athletes get them, you know, like that. That's a tough conversation to be had today.
Really is, man.
But in 3 months, maybe it's different. You know, again, I'm stretching this out. I'm trying to find some sort of way to make this happen. But maybe in 3 months, you know, each individual country says we're going to vaccinate our athletes that are going. But you got to get there first. They're still qualifying. You know, and I don't know how you perform enough and get together enough to qualify to even make it there. And I wonder what it says about the Euros as well, because the Euros were supposed to happen in 2020. They've been pushed back to the summer of 2021.
Yeah, there's some terrible things going on in the world, Hayes, but think about the athlete that trained 4 years of their life. Maybe the extra one added on to it because it was missed last year. And then
right.
Then
and now
it's
just
no
done.
Dice.
And yeah, you're out of like, the cycle. Like the, it's,
that's right. You're gone for the next one. I can't imagine that
it'd be,
feeling.
It'd be sickening.
Oh,
sickening.
God.
It would be. And listen, there's so many different people that have made sacrifices and missed out on big things, so they're not alone. But you're working towards the Olympics for 4 years. Forget 4 years. Your whole life. Like, if you're going to be an Olympic athlete, you've been performing in that field since you were 4 or 5 years old, building towards it. And between 2016 and 2020, you're like, all right, this is my avenue to get there. Okay, I got to stick around for one more year. I'll be there in 2021. If they get rid of it, my understanding is you're not going back to the summer games until 2024, right? Like the winter games are in 2022. Maybe they push it back another year, but I doubt it. I would think Japan's probably like, uncle, we're out. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not doing this. And I guess the article in the Times is reported that Japan might try to get back in line in 2032,
yeah,
which is the next time the games would be available. And I could see the IOC hooking them up. They probably should. They built a lot of infrastructure. They've put a lot of money and time into it. That would seem to make sense to me. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the under in the Philly-Boston game tonight. Boston, I don't believe, has scored 5-on-5 yet this season. Like the
That's
Bruins
crazy.
Are... It's been a pretty slow start to the year.
No Pasternak.
Yeah, no Pasternak's a big part of it. But Bergeron's playing. Marchand is playing. you know, and they can't get going offensively. Over the number in the Winnipeg-Ottawa game tonight, and I like Colorado at LA. Throw down 20, you can score 68. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. Thank you, Jonas, as always, buddy. I'm sure we'll be doing this a lot over the next 3 or 4 months. You know, Noodles back on the road calling games, and we always appreciate you joining us, putting up with us. And
well, thanks, boys. I hope it goes better tomorrow, I hope.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think it will bounce back.
I'm optimistic it will. I need a good, quality, old-school Dan Campbell pep talk before the show tomorrow.
Bite someone in the kneecap?
Just biting kneecaps off, and that's how we're going to perform. Right, O?
I love it. And if you go down, we'll bite the other kneecap
off. Yeah, we'll do whatever. We'll take a nose off, an ear off.
We're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Yep, that's totally normal. Totally normal human behavior. All right, thank you, Jonas.
Thanks, boys.
There is Jonas Siegel from The Athletic. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.